This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
Israel Report for the Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. Apologies for that very, very strange intro there. But either way, at least we are speaking to you. Hope you're well.
Boker Tov, Chodesh Tov, Shavuot Tov. Yes, a very fascinating day indeed.
Yeah.
Most Israelis, including me, went to sleep with our running shoes ready last night, just in case, because like last week, exactly a week ago, we were expecting things to really heat up after yesterday's events. And of course, this morning we wake up, naturally there has been, a lot of activities in the U.S., there was a birthday celebration. There was a UFC event. The president is apparently on his way to the G7 event, which is due to take place in Evian in France right now. And would you believe that the G7 was actually delayed? The opening of the G7 was purposely delayed to allow the president to attend the UFC event at the White House yesterday. So that was the way that things operate around here. But yeah, we're all feeling a little confused and I suppose even somewhat disappointed, angry maybe, at these events. So let's just try and unpack where we are right now. And I'm afraid, from my perspective, it's not great news. I don't see this as particularly positive. And to be fair, I think there were a lot of people yesterday who were hoping that things would blow up overnight, that the Iranians would attack, that this would essentially put paid to the peace agreement that was being negotiated. And what we discover is that essentially the U.S. has capitulated even further than we expected. I think that that's the net result of the events of yesterday. What happened yesterday? Well, let's start with the fact that the IDF has been continuing its activities in Lebanon, and Hezbollah decided yesterday to fire missiles that landed within Israeli territory. Now, according to the equation that was put together by the U.S. administration already some weeks ago, any missiles, I mean, the president didn't create this equation as such, but what he said was Hezbollah will stop firing missiles into Israel, and Israel will not attack Beirut. That was the way that things were presented, which essentially means, if one kind of takes it the other way around, that if Hezbollah fires into Israel, then Israeli attacks against targets in Beirut are on the table. And that's exactly the way the things transpired yesterday. There were missiles that fell in Israel, and the IDF took the opportunity, clearly guided by the political echelon, to carry out some significant attacks in the Dahiya neighborhood of Beirut. And we understand that there were some senior Hezbollah officials, terrorists, leaders who were killed in the attack that took place yesterday, in those attacks that took place in Dahiya. This led to a conversation between Prime Minister Netanyahu and President Trump. President Trump is quoted as saying, "Bibi has no effing discretion," publicly to an Israeli news site. And then he went on to say Hezbollah fired and hit the middle of nowhere and nobody was hurt. And then he has to effing attack. And in Beirut, that made me very angry. Those were President Trump's words from yesterday following that exchange of fire. But essentially, the Iranians escalated the situation yesterday to the point where Israel was put onto maximum security alert. The Home Front Command instructions for civilians around Israel were revised late yesterday to limit gatherings to less than 5,000 people. There were huge concerts that had been planned for last night, outdoor concerts that were cancelled as a result of the revision of the Home Front Command. There was definitely a feeling that there were going to be some fireworks last night and that we were expecting to be attacked from Iran. What prevented that? Well, what prevented it was President Trump saying, I'm going to open the Straits of Hormuz. That's it. Almost without any quid pro quo, in order to try to calm the situation down and to somehow engineer his way to achieve this agreement that he is now clearly hell-bent on achieving, he decided unilaterally to open the Straits of Hormuz to allow Iranian vessels to freely move within the Straits of Hormuz. And that was essentially, I think, the action which prevented this from really blowing up. And so we are now left with a situation where apparently on Friday, this agreement will be signed. Yesterday, we were 2 to 3 hours away from signing the agreement. That was according to the words of President Trump. We are 2 or 3 hours away from signing. Now, apparently, the signing will be on Friday. But the announcements have been made both by Pakistan and by President Trump himself that full agreement has been reached. And what does that mean? What does this agreement actually entail? Well, on the first hand, the Americans have agreed to release massive amounts of Iranian funds. I've seen numbers around $12 billion.
Yeah, it's 12 billion plus another 12 billion during the 60 days or something like that.
Right. So first of all, they will release this money right away. They will also release any control over the Straits of Hormuz right away, without anything coming back. And then apparently the Iranians will also open the Straits of Hormuz. I mean, when we say open the Straits of Hormuz, it's always a little difficult to understand who's opening what and who's...
We don't even know who's closing it.
So I think that the blockade on the Straits of Hormuz was really a dual blockade. The Iranians were blocking Western ships from traveling in and out. The Americans were blocking Iranian oil from coming out of the Straits of Hormuz. So I think there was a sort of a dual blockade, depending on which side of the fence you represented. But apparently the Straits of Hormuz will be open. And the Iranians have effectively, I mean, from what I can gather, they've got away scot-free, because the other part of the deal is that over the next 60 days, an agreement will be reached on the nuclear program, and clearly on the enriched uranium that Iran still has in its possession, which President Trump promised faithfully that there would be no nuclear program in the future and that the nuclear dust would be destroyed either in Iran or in the United States, but it would be destroyed. Well, it's not, and there's no agreement for it to be destroyed. The agreement says that there will be negotiations over the next 60 days. But we've already seen those types of agreements where Iran effectively gets a lot of what it wants up front, or in the case of Hamas, the same. They got a lot of what they wanted up front. And then when it came to this so-called negotiation in the case of Hamas for disarming Hamas, well, I mean, that never happened, right? And it hasn't happened and is unlikely to happen. And what happens next? Well, not a great deal. It's effectively something which is given up right from the word go. And I fear that the same is true of the nuclear program and of the enriched uranium, that even though there is supposedly this idea of negotiating over the next 60 days, and by the way, there will be further Iranian assets that are somewhat tied to the success of those negotiations. It's unclear to what extent those are really critical. As far as Iran is concerned, Iran might have decided that they're willing to let those assets go in the interests of not coming to a nuclear agreement with the US over the next 60 days. I'm pretty sure that there will be no agreement over the next 60 days. And then what? Then what will happen next? Well, there's no real allowance for what happens next. So in summary, when we look at Israel's point of view and Israel's interests. There were three main things that Israel really wanted to achieve from this agreement or from the war with Iran, the conflict with Iran. The one is to get rid of the ballistic missile threat. The second is to make sure that there is no nuclear program that potentially threatens Israel. And the third, which is a sort of unstated intention, but it nevertheless was there in the background, is to change the regime in Iran. Those were the three things that Israel really wanted. It would be safe to say none of those have been achieved in this agreement and unlikely to be achieved over the next 60 days. And so I would say from Israel's perspective, it's been a resounding failure, this negotiation. However, I do think that there is one success that Israel has achieved, or perhaps two successes. The one is that Israel has shown that it can really go in and attack the heart of the Iranian regime. They managed to find the supreme leader, and they took out many, many senior leaders within the regime. So Israel has shown its ability to go right into the heart of the Iranian regime, and that will certainly weigh heavily on the minds of those who take Iran forward from this point onward. And also from the Israeli home front perspective, we've demonstrated to Israelis that we are able to take Iran on, and we're really able to take them on, because once upon a time, Iran was this sort of black box that represented this huge threat. And it was kind of something that we could never contemplate confronting. And now that it has been confronted and we understand more or less the size of this beast, I think that many Israelis feel that Iran is not such a threat.
In other words, the almost mystical nature of Iran has it's just no longer as frightening. That said, in a way it's more frightening because it's so clear that Iran has one goal, and that is to destroy Israel, even if it destroys itself in the process.
Exactly. So I think the intentions are much clearer than they used to be. I mean, that's one of the outcomes of the last 3 years of war, that whereas, you know, Iran was sort of linked to these proxy armies in a relatively indirect way, and a lot of people spoke about it, but it was never really clearly linked. Now the link is absolutely unequivocal, that Iran is trying to protect Hezbollah in Lebanon, that Iran is funding Hamas and the Houthis. There is no doubt, and there is no secret. There's no secret. This is no longer
all out there.
A point for debate. It's absolutely out there in the open. And of course, the smokescreen about Iran has been removed to some degree, that people can now see Iran for what it really is rather than what we think. There is one more element that I didn't address, which is the whole issue of the ceasefire in Lebanon. One of the terms of the agreement we understand is that Israel will essentially withdraw from Lebanon.
But how is Israel, who's not party to the agreement, expected to adhere to any of the conditions of the agreement? I can't go and buy a car on your behalf and you're now obligated to pay for it.
Unless, of course, you're beholden to each other in some sort of way and can influence this in the way that President Trump thinks that he can force Israel to undertake certain actions. And to be fair, he's shown quite well that there are cases when he does have a lot of influence or even potentially some element of control over Israel's actions. But it's interesting that the idea of Israel withdrawing from Lebanon is part of the agreement, we understand, between the between Iran and the USA. Prime Minister Netanyahu has come out already making the statement that Israel will not stop in Lebanon in spite of the agreement with between the US and Iran, which apparently incorporates the idea of Israel withdrawing from Lebanon. The Prime Minister said Israel is not bound to this. He is really standing his ground. It'll be interesting to see how firm he's able to make that point stick over the next month or two.
He's got a real problem because he, from looking very strong, I think that Netanyahu is looking very weak.
Well, what I, you know, during the height of the Iranian war, I was sort of looking forward to a new Middle East where I saw Israel being highly influential over the entire Middle East, and that Iran's influence has decreased. Well, that's really turned on its head now. And it seems with the continued life that's been breathed into this regime, where they continue to rule in spite of the leadership having been changed, I think that Iran has come out of this extremely strong politically and with some major element of control over events in the Middle East. They still have their links to the proxy armies. They still fear. They still sow fear into their Gulf neighbors. They still show their strength to control the Straits of Hormuz. I think they've come out of this extremely strong. We will see whether the agreement ultimately gets signed on Friday. And of course, we will be watching with great interest over the next 60 days to see where the rest of the negotiations go. But I unfortunately feel somewhat pessimistic today about what's happened.
And that unfortunately makes two of us. Morris K says, a very big Trump supporter. I now have to conclude that Trump is a chump, a loudmouth, hollow vessel. And Charles says none of the objectives that Israel had have been reached. Yep. So I'm asking you for your view on these on this, but it really does seem as though we all share a fairly negative sentiment, or many of us do. And if you disagree, please let me know why you disagree. I would absolutely love to hear from you. I'd love to get a different perspective. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. We'll chat to you tomorrow morning, 7:45.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.